Thank you, DA. And greetings to each of you brave souls. I thank you for coming out. It's a beautiful day inside. Today, my thoughts are still with the rally, and so I want to talk on faith. But before I get into the main meat of my sermon, I want to read this scripture because it tells us why we need to be concerned about faith. Our rally was on need to rend the veil of unbelief. That's essentially saying that we need to have more faith. Is our faith being diminished? Is it? What? Why are we concerned about our faith? And so in Luke, this is Jesus Christ towards the end of his ministry talking about this need. And he says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, he's not talking about passing out. He's talking about our faith failing us. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? This widow had a right. She had, in those days, the widow was that needy person who had nothing to support her, and yet people would take advantage of the weak. And so if you've seen a widow being taken advantage of, you had the responsibility to avenge her. And this judge was in a position of power. He had the ability to avenge her of someone who was taking advantage of her weakness. And he eventually did what was right. But Christ is saying that God will do this willingly because he loves you. He loves his own children. And so he's very willing to avenge us of any wrong that's happening if we will cry to him. And then he finishes, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Christ was concerned that at the end, when he returned, faith might be gone. Now, he knows that it won't be totally gone. But it's going to be this scarce commodity that is not readily seen. You and I have been so incredibly blessed that we were born with this into a community that knew the truth and that shared it with us. And we have this foundation for faith. So it's us that can lose it. If there is little faith on the earth, it's because we lost our faith. That becomes personal. That becomes scary to me, that I could lose my faith. So today I want to read a letter. A letter that you have received, a letter that I've received, written by a man long, long ago, didn't know our name, but he's seen our day. And he gave us, I've written down 26 lessons on faith. The man's name was Nephi. He said, dear Church of Christ. And he signs it, love Nephi and family. So I'm going to turn to the first chapter of the first book of Nephi. Now, you don't have to panic. I'm not going to read it all. But I am going to read a significant amount of it. So maybe you do need to panic. I would like to begin with verse 4. Wherefore, came to pass that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, for in behalf of his people. Now Nephi was praying for the kingdom of God. God's people were there in Jerusalem. And Lehi was praying with all his heart for them. So lesson one, put all your heart into your prayer when you're praying for the kingdom of God. Verse five. It came to pass as he prayed unto the Lord, there came a pillar of fire and dwelt upon a rock before him. And he saw and heard much, and because of the things which he saw and heard, he did quake and tremble exceedingly. There have been some of us who have seen this pillar of fire. I have not, but there are some in here that have. That's to indicate God's presence. And so Lehi was aware of God's presence. He looked for it. He seen it in this pillar of fire. So when we pray, look for God's presence. Because he is there. We just have to see it. Verse 6. It came to pass that he returned to his house at Jerusalem, and he cast himself upon his bed, being overcome with the Spirit and the things which he had seen. And being thus overcome with the Spirit, he was carried away in a vision, even that he saw the heavens open, and he thought he saw God sitting in his throne, sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numerous concourses of angels, in the attitude of singing and praising their God. Maybe we can get it to work. So Lehi went home. He didn't busy himself as I frequently do. I pray out to God for something that I think is needful, and then I busy myself. But Lehi went home. He made himself available to hear the word of God. It came to pass that he saw one descending out of the midst of heaven, and he beheld that his luster was above that of the sun at noonday. And he also saw 12 others following him, and their brightness did exceed that of the stars in the firmament. And they came down and went forth upon the face of the earth. And the first came and stood before my father and gave unto him a book, and bade him that he should read. And it came to pass that as he read, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and he read, saying, woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen thine abominations. Yea, and many things did my father read concerning Jerusalem, that it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof should be, many should perish by the sword, and many should be carried away captive into Babylon. And it came to pass that when my father had read and seen many great and marvelous things, he did exclaim many things unto the Lord, such as, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty. Thy throne is high in the heavens, and thy power and goodness and mercy are over all the inhabitants of the earth. And because thou art merciful, thou wilt not suffer those that come unto thee that they should perish. And after this manner was the language of my father in the praising of his God, for his soul did rejoice, and his whole heart was filled because of the things which he had seen, yea, which the Lord had shewn unto him. So a fourth lesson. So when God does make himself manifest, and he does give you a message, pour out your heart in worship. Our faith is weak. Christ prayed for Peter that his faith might not fail. But God is in the business of nurturing your faith. He's given you all kinds of things. Some of them are trials. Some of them are great blessings. But it's all to increase your faith, to help us to know who he is and what he asks of us. I'd like now to drop down to the 18th verse. Therefore, I would that ye should know that after the Lord has shewn so many marvelous things unto my father Lehi, yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and to declare unto them concerning the things which he had both seen and heard. And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him because of the things which he testified of them. And he truly testified of their wickedness and their abominations. And he testified that the things which he saw and heard, and also the things which he read in the book, manifested plainly of the coming of a Messiah, and also of the redemption of the world. And when the Jews heard these things, they were angry with him, yea, even as with the prophets of old, whom they had cast out and stoned and slain. And they also sought his life, that they might take it away. If our heart is sincere when we pray for the kingdom of God, we will do what we're to do, what God puts out there in his message, for the benefit not only of ourselves, but for the benefit of the kingdom of heaven. And Lehi went out to his neighbor and he told him what he had seen, because his soul cried out for his people. Too often, my faith is a cowardly thing, and I hide it. We have the truth in these books, but do we share it with those who would mock us because we're afraid that they will mock us? I'm afraid I am guilty. I'd like now to go to verse 26. Came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of God. Wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness. And he left his house and land of his inheritance, and his gold and his silver and his precious things, and took nothing with him, save it were his family and provisions and tents. And he departed into the wilderness. And he came down to the borders near the shore of the Red Sea. So he was willing to be mocked, but he also was willing to obey to the very extreme. If God told you today to leave everything, including your retirement, including your Social Security, including your pensions, including everything, and you left, what a trial that would be. Would we stand and rejoice and give thanksgiving? Lehi did. And it came to pass that he built an altar of stone, and he made an offering unto the Lord and gave thanks unto the Lord our God. This is only 3 days after he walked out of his house and left everything behind. 3 days later, he's rejoicing because he knows that God is with him and is teaching him and increasing his faith and nurturing him and his loved ones. I'd like now to go to verse 38. And this he spake, and this is referring to Lehi, and he's speaking at the Laman and Lemuel. And this he spake because of the stiff-neckedness of Laman and Lemuel. For behold, they did murmur in many things against their father, because he was a visionary man, and that he had led them out of the land of Jerusalem to leave the land of their inheritance, and their gold and their silver and their precious things, and to perish in the wilderness. And this they said that he had done because of the foolish imaginations of his heart. And thus Laman and Lemuel, being the eldest, did murmur against their father. And they did murmur because they knew not the dealings of that God who had created them, neither did they believe that Jerusalem, that great city, should be destroyed according to the words of the prophet. And they were likened to the Jews which were at Jerusalem, which sought to take away the life of my father. Put this in here so that you have kind of an idea of the time and the setting. This is like around 600 BC, right at 600 BC. 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, earlier, the Babylonians had come in and put siege to Jerusalem, and they took away some captives. Among those was Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we read in the Bible. And so they had been, Babylon was threatening. It was right there on their doorstep. And yet, Laman and Lemuel were so proud that they didn't think that Jerusalem could fall when some of their own had already been taken. Is it unlike today in our country? There's signs all around us of a problem, of faith. And God's doing all he can. We won't take away our choice. So are we going to be lifted up in pride as Laman and Lemuel and think that Jerusalem cannot fall? Do we not think that we can stumble as a nation? We're tempting God with breaking all the barriers. You name the social ills of drugs, of abortion, of marriage. We need to humble ourselves. I'd like now to go to verse 47. It came to pass that I, Nephi, being exceeding young, nevertheless being large in stature, and also having great desire to know of the mysteries of God. Wherefore, I cried unto the Lord, and behold, he did visit me, and did soften my heart. But I did believe all the words which had been spoken by my father. Wherefore, I did not rebel against him, like unto my brothers. And I spake unto Sam, making known unto him the things which the Lord had manifested unto me by his Holy Spirit. And it came to pass that he believed on my words. But Laman and Lemuel would not hearken unto my words. So Nephi had a desire to know the truth, to have faith in that. And so he cried out to God, and God softened his heart towards it. If we want to know the truth and we pray for it, allow God to soften your heart towards that truth. Because by nature, mankind is an enemy to God. And we will harden our hearts against that truth. So pray that God will soften your heart towards truth. Be willing to look at those around you and see the mistakes they make and see the successes that they make. As Sam, that was all he needed to believe the truth. Sorry, I'm getting myself confused here. Let's read verse 53. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, because of thy faith, for thou hast sought me diligently with lowliness of heart. Those are the criteria that we should approach God, with lowliness and diligently. Now I'd like to jump over to verse 62. Wherefore, the Lord hath commanded me that thy brothers... Okay, I need to fill in a little void here. For those who know the story, you know what's going on. But For those who may not know, Lehi is told to leave, and he goes down into the wilderness for 3 days and goes down by the Red Sea. So he's kind of hidden away from society. And then God comes to Lehi, and he says, I want you to send back your sons back to Jerusalem, and I want you to have them go into the house of Laban, because there's some brass plates there that you need to take with you, because it is a history of your people, and it's a history of your people's interactions with God, and you will need that for your people in the future. That was kind of like our pastor asking 4 or 5 of us to go to Fort Knox and bring back the gold. It was mission impossible. This guy had 10,000 men to guard those plates. He wasn't going to give them up. And so, and now behold, my brethren's, and this is, and Lehi tells his sons that this is the task that they have. And now behold, my brothers murmured, saying, it is a hard thing which I have required of them. But behold, I have not required it of them, but it is the commandment of the Lord. Therefore, go, my son, and thou shalt be favored of the Lord, because thou hast not murmured. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. For I know that the Lord giveth no commandment unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he hath commanded them. Why does God give us the impossible to do? It's to show that he has an opportunity to show forth his power. Because when he shows his power, we know that it's God and it's not us. And that increases our faith. Because God is in the business of nurturing and saving our faith. I'm going to turn to verse 74. And we began to be, so the boys do all go back to Jerusalem, and they go into, they send a layman into the to Laban's house to get the plates, to see if he can negotiate some type of a deal, and he gets cast out, so they had a total failure. And we began to be exceeding sorrowful, and my brethren were about to return unto my father in the wilderness. But behold, I said unto them, as the Lord liveth, and as we live, we will not go down unto our father in the wilderness until we have accomplished the thing which the Lord hath commanded us. Therefore, let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. It is so easy to think that God only wants us to try. That's not what he asked. He said to go down there and get those plates. And Nephi understood that it was not a suggestion. It was not an encouragement to do it. It was a commandment to do it. And so he was not willing to admit failure. I can't put myself into Nephi's place. His brothers are against him. It looked like the whole world was against him. He's there alone. He does convince them to stay and try again. And so what they do is they go back to their place where they had lived before. And they got all their gold and their silver and all their precious stuff. And they thought that maybe they could go to Laban and buy it, essentially. And so they try that. And as it turns out, Laban sends his guards, and he captures all their gold and silver and their precious things, but he doesn't give them the plates. And so now in verse 93, Laman and Lemuel are angry. Because now, and I can understand their anger, they had in the back of their minds that up to this point, that they could always flee out of the wilderness when they were down there with their dad and go back home, and there would be silver and gold and precious things that they could just start life up again. But now they've lost it. And there's nothing to go back home to. And so they're angry with Nephi. And it came to pass that, and they started beating him with a rod. And it says in 93, and it came to pass that as they smote us with a rod, behold, an angel of the Lord came and stood before them and spake unto them, saying, why do you smite your younger brother with a rod? Know ye not that the Lord hath chosen him to be a ruler over you, and this because of your iniquities? Behold, thou shalt go up to Jerusalem again, and the Lord will deliver Laban into your hands. So, God knows when it is that we are desperate. In this case, he sent an angel. But he will send somebody, something, some way, he will get communication to you. Be looking for it. But don't forget the message. He says, go back, and God will put Laban into your hands. He's going to do it. It wasn't up to those boys to do it. Verse 99. And it came to pass that I spake unto my brethren, saying, let us go up again to Jerusalem, and let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, he is mightier than all the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50? Yea, even than his tens of thousands. Therefore, let us go up. Let us be strong like unto Moses, for he truly spake into the waters of the Red Sea, and they divided hither and thither, and our fathers came through out of captivity on dry ground, and the armies of Pharaoh did follow and were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. And now behold, ye know that this is true, and ye also know that an angel hath spoken unto you, wherefore can ye doubt? Let us go up, and the Lord is able to deliver us even as our fathers, and to destroy Laban, even as the Egyptians. Now Nephi is drawing strength for his faith on several things. One, a messenger. An angel came to him, and he was able to draw strength for his faith because God had sent someone to him with a message. But he also drew on the men who have gone before, who are of great faith. And in this situation, it's Moses. We too have bounteous records and experiences of people who have gone before who had faith and God delivered them. I think of Brother Nicholas, who's in a plane, is having motor difficulties, and he gets out on the wing and he works on that engine. God brought him back. Countless stories that we have of people of great faith who are in a bind and God done something miraculous with them. It's happened in your life. Draw on that for your faith. Record it so you don't forget it in the time of testing. Sorry, I'm not organized here. So they obtain the plates. They go back to Jerusalem, and God does put Laban in their hands in such a way, in a manner that they can obtain the plates. And so they take the plates, and they go back into the wilderness to meet their father and mother. I'll pick up on verse 146. It came to pass that after they had come down into the wilderness unto our father, behold, he was filled with joy, and also my mother Sariah was exceeding glad, for she truly had mourned because of us, for she had supposed that we had perished in the wilderness. And she also had complained against my father, telling him that he was a visionary man, saying, behold, thou hast led us forth from the land of our inheritance, and my sons are no more, and we perish in the wilderness. And after this manner of language, had my mother complained against my father. And it came to pass that my father spake unto her, saying, I know that I'm a visionary man, for if I had not seen the things of God in a vision, I should not have known the goodness of God, but had tarried in Jerusalem and had perished with my brethren. But behold, I have obtained the land of promise, in the which I do desire, in which I do rejoice. Yea, and I know that the Lord will deliver my sons out of the hands of Laban and bring them down again into the wilderness. And after this manner of language did my father Lehi comfort my mother Sariah concerning us while we journeyed in the wilderness up into the land of Jerusalem to obtain the record of the Jews. And when we had returned to the tent of my father, behold, their joy was full, and my mother was comforted, and she spake, saying, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath commanded my husband to flee into the wilderness. It was because of the success of her kids that she had this strengthening of her faith so that she could go on with this significant task of going for years in the wilderness. So draw strength for your faith from the experiences of your loved ones. So now I need to go to chapter 2, and I'm going to begin with verse 7. And now I would that ye might know that after my father Lehi had made an end of prophesying concerning his seed, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto him again, saying that it was not meet for him, Lehi, that he should take his family into the wilderness alone, but that his sons should take daughters to wife, that they should raise up seed unto the Lord in the land of promise. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded him that I, Nephi, and my brethren should again return unto the land of Jerusalem and bring down Ishmael and his family into the wilderness. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did again with my brethren go into the wilderness to go up to Jerusalem. Now, isn't it surprising? Every time Laman and Lemuel was given a task, they murmured. But this time, they're to go up to get wives. And there was no murmuring. Why? Because there was a personal reward there for them. So are we as willing to do what God asks us when there is not a reward visible as when there is? Or are we like Laman and Lemuel, glad to do what God asks if we have an immediate reward? I'd like to go to verse 12. And it came to pass, as we journeyed into the wilderness, behold, Laman and Lemuel. Okay, so I need to fill in a little bit. All the boys go back up to Jerusalem. They talk to Ishmael. He's a man of, I think it's 5 daughters and 2 sons or so. I may be wrong on the numbers, but Ishmael is willing to come back down with them. And so now we have a large group coming back down with Laman and Lemuel and Sam and Nephi. And all of a sudden, there's rebellion again. In verse 12, and it came to pass that as we journeyed in the wilderness, behold, Laman and Lemuel and 2 of the daughters of Ishmael and the 2 sons of Ishmael and their families did rebel against us, yea, against I, Nephi, and Sam, and their father Ishmael and his wife and his 3 other daughters. And it came to pass that in this rebellion, they were desirous to return to the land of Jerusalem. The point I want to make out of that is that others can tempt you. Their lack of faith can tempt you to weaken your faith. So we cannot allow others of weak faith to do that to us. We have to know what God's mission is for us and be focused on that. And when others are complaining, When others have significantly logical explanations of why we shouldn't do it, you have to rely on what God commanded. I'd like to go down to verse 16. How is it that, okay, and this is Nephi talking to his rebellious brothers. How is it that you have forgotten that you have seen an angel of the Lord? Yea, and how is it that ye have forgotten how great things the Lord hath done for us in delivering us out of the hands of Laban, and also that we have obtained the records? Yea, and how is it that ye have forgotten that the Lord is able to do all things according to his will for the children of men, if it so be that they will exercise faith in him? Wherefore, let us be faithful. And if it so be that we are faithful in him, we shall obtain the land of promise, and ye shall know at some future period that the word of the Lord shall be fulfilled concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. So now Nephi is giving them things that they can add faith by. One is that they've seen this messenger, this angel. We also have this success of being able to go into Jerusalem. They went into Fort Knox and they took the gold, the impossible. And also, they are to look at God's promises. God had promised them this land that was incredible. And so, take faith in that. Or increase your faith in that. Okay. I'm going to begin at verse 27. So they, again, the boys, the Laman and Lemuel, are rebelling against Nephi. And in verse 27, and it came to pass that they did lay their hands upon me, for behold, they were exceeding wroth, and they did bind me with cords, for they sought to take away my life, that they might leave me in the wilderness to be devoured by the wild beasts. But it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, according to my faith which is in me, wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of my brethren? Yea, even give me strength that I may burst these bands with which I am bound. And it came to pass that when I said these words, behold, the bands were loosened from off my hands and feet, and I stood before my brethren, and I spake unto them again. And it came to pass that they were angry with me again, and sought to lay hands upon me. But behold, one of the daughters of Ishmael, yea, and also her mother, and one of the sons of Ishmael, did plead with my brethren, insomuch that they did soften their hearts, and they did cease striving to take away my life. The lesson from that: by faith in God, you may be saved through a miracle. Or it could be by God touching someone else to come to your rescue. It makes no difference. It's God who's done it. It's his power. It's not ours. He's nurturing our faith. Okay. The rest of that chapter is a dream that I strongly recommend that Lehi has given. And that dream is designed to give information, a plan of salvation to Lehi so that he can share it with his family. But it was to increase their faith in this dream that he was given. And then after he has the dream, then Lehi is given this ability to prophesy, and he tells of the future of what's going to take place for his sons. Now I would like to go to chapter 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 23. And it came to pass that after I, Nephi, having heard all the words of my father concerning the things which he saw in a vision, and also the things which he spake by the power of the Holy Ghost, which power he received by faith on the Son of God, and the Son of God was the Messiah which should come. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him, as well in times of old as in the times that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. For he that diligently seeketh shall find. And the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost. And all, as well in times, I'm sorry, as well in this time as in times of old, and as well in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore, the course of the Lord is one eternal round. God is looking for a home for faith. And that home must be a soul that is humble, that's diligent in obedience, and is sincerely seeking the truth. Then, as it says here, that Nephi was desirous to know and to see and to hear the things that his father had seen and heard and knew from this vision. And God grants that unto him. And so we go now to chapter 4. We're going to begin with verse 1. And it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had been carried away in the spirit and had seen all these things, I returned to the tent of my father. And it came to pass that I beheld my brethren, and they were disputing one with another concerning the things which my father had spoken unto them. And he truly spake many things unto them, which were hard to be understood, save a man should inquire of the Lord. And they being hard in their hearts, therefore they did not look unto the Lord as they had ought. And now I, Nephi, was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, and also because of the things which I had seen, and knew they must unavoidably come to pass because of the great wickedness of the children of men. And it came to pass that I was overcome because of my affliction, for I considered that mine afflictions were great above all because of the destruction of my people, for I had beheld their fall. For those who have not read it, in this dream that Nephi gets to see, he sees his own people generations after generations after generations. Sometimes they were being good. Other times they were being wicked. And then towards the end, he sees his people become so wicked that they are all destroyed. I can't imagine looking, knowing the joy that I have in my grandchildren, to know that someday they would turn, or some other generation. So it's no wonder Nephi felt like he had more affliction than anybody. And yet, his faith had to stand strong in this affliction. This was a test that God showed him the future. God blesses us in many respects by not showing us all the details of our future. But in this case, Nephi was shown. Verse 7, and it came to pass that after I had received strength, I spake unto my brethren, desiring to know of them the cause of their disputations. And they said, behold, we cannot understand the words of which our father hath spoken concerning the natural branches of the olive tree and also concerning the Gentiles. And I said unto them, have ye inquired of the Lord? And they said, we have not, for the Lord maketh no such thing known unto us. Behold, I said unto them, how is it that ye do not keep the commandments of the Lord? How is it that ye will perish because of the hardness of your hearts? Do ye not remember the things which the Lord hath said? If you will not harden your hearts and ask me in faith, believing that you shall receive with diligence in keeping my commandments, surely these things shall be made known unto you. Nephi was a man of great faith and strength. We're not all built the same way. Laman and Lemuel were not. But they also murmured. That is, anytime we complain, we are complaining to God that he hasn't given us enough. And yet we know that he has given us more than what we should have. He desires good things for us. So don't complain. A murmuring soul, in verse 20, I might refresh their memory. A home for faith is a soul that's humble and obedient and seeking the truth. A murmuring soul is the opposite. It's full of self-serving, disobedient, and self-willed. And faith will not harbor there. Am I filled up with the world? Am I focused on myself? Do I give allowance for little sins? Do I have a strong faith like Nephi? Or am I more like Laman and Lemuel? I'd like to go to chapter 5. My time's up, but I have just a little bit more. We'll begin with verse 1. Now it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had made an end of speaking to my brethren, behold, they said unto me, thou hast declared unto us hard things, more than that which we are able to bear. And it came to pass that I said unto them, I knew that I had spoken hard things against the wicked according to the truth. And the righteous have I justified and testified that they should be lifted up at the last day. Wherefore, the guilty taketh the truth to be hard, for it cutteth them to the very center. And now, my brethren, if ye were righteous and were willing to hearken to the truth and give heed unto it, that ye might walk uprightly before God, then ye would not murmur because of the truth and say, thou speakest hard things unto us. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did exhort my brethren with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. And it came to pass that they did humble themselves before the Lord, insomuch that I had joy and great hopes of them that they should walk in the paths of righteousness. I'd like now to fill in some voids. Lehi is told to take his family and the group and go on into the wilderness. They've been camped out for a number of months in this one spot. Now they're to go on. They begin to their travels, and they're hunting as they go to obtain food. And Nephi has the best of the bows and arrows, and his bow breaks. And so now hunger comes onto the scene, a great trial for many of us. And I'm sorry I'm pushing you guys as hungers, but don't get little faith, okay? Hang in there with us. And so The hunger is becoming a great trial to them. And so I want to read in verse 25. And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael did begin to murmur exceedingly because of their suffering and afflictions in the wilderness. And also my father began to murmur against the Lord his God. Yea, and they were all exceeding sorrowful, even that they did murmur against the Lord. So even Lehi, a man who had significant faith, and had significant experience with God, because of hunger, began to fail, to weaken. So our bodily needs can be very devastating to our faith if we allow it. I'd like now to turn to verse 29. And I said unto my father, whither shall I go to obtain food? And he's made a new bow, and he's ready to go hunting again. And it came to pass that he did inquire of the Lord, and for they had humbled themselves because of my word, for I did say many things unto them in the energy of my soul. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto my father, and he was truly chastened because of his murmuring against the Lord, insomuch that he was brought down into the depths of sorrow. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord said unto him, Look upon the ball, and behold the things which are written. And it came to pass that when my father beheld the things which were written upon the ball, he did fear and tremble exceedingly. And also my brethren and the sons of Ishmael and our wives. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the pointers which were in the ball, that they did work according to the faith and diligence and heed which we did give unto them. And there was also written upon them a new writing, which was plain to be read, which did give us understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. And it was written and changed from time to time according to the faith and diligence which we gave unto it. And thus we see that by little means the Lord can bring about great things. Lehi was discouraged. He could see everything falling apart because of hunger. But when God chastened him, we are to take courage. God hasn't abandoned us. It's actually a great blessing to be chastened by the Lord, because you know that he is still working with you. He's still trying to increase your faith. His hand is out for you to take. Just take courage. I'd like now to turn to verse 44. And it came to pass that Ishmael died and was buried in the place which is called Naam. And it came to pass that the daughters of Ishmael did mourn exceedingly because of the loss of their father and because of their afflictions in the wilderness. And they did murmur against my father because that he had brought them out of the land of Jerusalem, saying, Our father is dead, and we have wandered much in the wilderness, and we have suffered much affliction, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, and all these things suffering, and all these sufferings, we must perish in the wilderness with hunger. And thus they did murmur against my father and also against me, and they were desirous to return to Jerusalem. Losing a loved one can cause one of two things. It can diminish our faith if we look at it from a selfish viewpoint. But if we'll seek God and submit to him and humble ourselves, he'll actually increase our faith, though we lost a loved one. It's our choice. So they wander farther into the wilderness. They get to the ocean, and Nephi is commanded to build a ship. So we jump to verse 112. Another mission impossible that Nephi is asked to do. We're out in the wilderness, and he's to make a ship that can cross the ocean. Verse 112, And notwithstanding they being led, the Lord their God, their Redeemer, going before them, leading them by day. Okay, the boys rebel again against Nephi, and Nephi is reminding them of what took place back in Moses' day, trying to encourage Laman and Lemuel to come to the job and work on building this ship. So Nephi is referring to back in the days of Moses. And notwithstanding they, Israelites in Egypt, being led, the Lord their God, their Redeemer, going before them, leading them by day and giving light unto them by night, and doing all things for them that was expedient for man to receive, they hardened their hearts and blinded their minds and reviled against Moses and against the true and living God. And it came to pass that according to his word, he did destroy them. And according to his word, he did lead them. And according to his word, he did do all things for them. And there is not anything done save it were by the word of the Lord. And that's significant. God does everything. Even the strengthening of our faith is done by the Lord. We have to be willing. We have to be a soul that is humble, that is diligently seeking the truth, that is keeping the commandments. And then he will soften our hearts to the truth. And so we can, in this situation where he's talking about Moses, We can either focus on all the afflictions that we have in our lives, or we can focus on the blessings of God giving us manna in the wilderness, striking the rock and water coming forth when we are thirsty. He provides everything that we want and need. Maybe not everything we want, but everything that we need. And so we need to either be counting our blessings, or else we'll become of little faith and we will start complaining and murmuring about our afflictions. I'd like now to turn to verse 144. I don't have too much more, I'm sorry. Verse 144, "And ye are swift to do iniquity, but slow to remember the Lord your God. Ye have seen an angel, and he spake unto you. Yea, ye have feared his voice from time to time. And he hath spoken to you in a still small voice, but ye were past feeling, that ye could not feel his words. Wherefore he hath spoken unto you like unto the voice of thunder, and it did cause the earth to shake as if it were to divide asunder. And ye also know that by the power of his almighty word, he can cause the earth that it should pass away. Yea, and ye know that by his word, he can cause that the rough places be made smooth, and the smooth places shall be broken up. Oh, then, why is it that ye can be so hard in your hearts?" This is Nephi talking to his brothers. And I'm sorry, I've gotten off here. We've already discussed this, focusing on afflictions or else focusing on our blessings. So lesson number 25, God in love and mercy at many times in our life uses many different means to increase our faith. So be looking for them and record them so you don't forget them during the testing times. I want to turn to my last scripture. In fact, I don't have to turn to it. As maybe I do too. Verse 2:14 and 2:15. And I'm going to read this more. I want you to consider it more symbolic than the actual facts here it says. "And it came to pass that they've now traveled across the ocean. They built their ship. They traveled across the ocean. And they've landed on the promised land. And it came to pass that we did begin to till the ground, and we began to plant seeds. Yea, we did put all our seeds into the earth, which we had brought with from the land of Jerusalem. And it came to pass that they did grow exceedingly, wherefore we were blessed in abundance." And so, dear Church of Christ, hold nothing back. Plant every seed of your faith so that you might reap a bountiful harvest of blessings, and your faith might endure. Love Nephi and family.